Welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast. In today's podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by one of Ireland's top makeup artists and creator of Ireland's best loved and award-winning makeup brand, Sculpted by Amy Connolly. The brand has grown phenomenally since it was founded in 2016, and it's recently arrived in store in Brand Thomas. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas podcast with Amy Connolly.
Amy Connolly, welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast. It's so lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be here.
Oh my God. Well, listen, you know, I was just recalling you and I met years ago when you did my makeup for, I can't even think what it was, but I always remembered how fabulous I felt after the makeup application by Amy Connolly and how just amazing you were. So, I mean, things have changed since then for you, right?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a journey. Like, the brand is just gone 6 years old, which is just crazy. So I can't even think kind of at what stage I would have been doing your makeup. I remember, well, I used to fly around doing everyone's faces and I absolutely loved it. So it was the best beginning.
You had such, even then, like a hustle and a work ethic, like, you know, the best possible way, because I remember you were doing three faces of whoever was there getting, I can't even recall what it was, but you, like, it was really early in the morning. You had maybe about three other jobs lined up for the rest of the day and you looked so fresh faced and beautiful yourself. I was like, how is she doing this? It's crazy.
I know. I definitely had a real love for it. So I did mine. Yeah. The early starts and late nights, and to be honest, I still don't, and I think that's so important. You have to really love what you do, because it gets tough.
Love what you do, but look what has happened since. I mean, it's an amazing success, and I think, you know, out of the darkness of COVID and everything, you really were one of those stars that shone, and that people were like, you know, like, because a lot of people set up businesses because we were at home and we had time to think, but not a lot of people created what you did, Amy. So tell me, what's it like now? What is your life like, you know, a day at the helm of Sculpted?
I would say most days can still be quite different, which I really like. But definitely as the business grows and the team grows and you have to fulfill, I suppose, the role of CEO a little bit more, it definitely is a bit more structured. So, you know, we have a team of 28 people right now. So, which is still, you know, relatively small compared to some people. To me, when I started as a one-woman band, it feels like an army that I have in the office. And it's really cool. Like, they're the moments that people often say, you know, do you ever have those pinch-me moments? Did you ever just sit back and think, oh, isn't this great? And be totally honest, I don't a whole pile of the time. I probably need to do that a bit more. But I think that's nearly the bad things about being an entrepreneur, is that you're always on to the next thing. But there are times where I sit in the office and I look around and I think, this is so cool. Like, it's all these amazing people are here in the brand. And then you get this terrifying thought of, and I'm responsible for their livelihoods. In a lovely way. So I think my day to day involves a lot of meetings, a lot of strategy, a lot of time spent with the team. You know, people do take time and deserve it, because they're so important. Could be creating content, could be doing masterclasses online, could be on with one of our suppliers in the UK. It's just ever changing, but that's just the nature of business. It's always changing.
And so, you know, you're so well versed in makeup. You spend years running around painting, you know, all of the faces of Ireland, but then adapting to life as a CEO, was that tricky? Were there times when you struggled with that change in your career, because it's running a business now as opposed to painting faces?
Yeah, I always say this. I feel like when you start out with an idea, you're so passionate about, in my case, the product, that you don't even consider the business stuff that has to come after it. And the business stuff could be something in finance. It could be actually being a manager. And no one teaches you that in college, unless you actually go to HR college, like I didn't. So I did business in French, which I loved, but like, it didn't exactly set me up and say, this is how you're going to run the company. Yeah. But I feel like with every year, my role changes. So like I said, you know, now the team has grown to be a little bit more cumbersome. You know, my role as strategist and CEO has to lead with that. I still have tons to learn and tons to do. But what's really interesting is I've actually grown up in my 20s leading a team. So I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and also about personalities. Because at the end of the day, your team are humans. They all have feelings. They all have personalities. So it's a very interesting topic to learn how to manage people. And like I said, I've so much yet to do in that area, but it definitely does steer your role with each year, I feel. I always find every year has a significant like headline attached to it or a challenge attached to it. So say last year was growth into new markets. Next year will be stability and growth. The year before that would have been processes. So there's always some sort of stage of business that kicks in that becomes the focus, if that makes sense.
Amazing. Of course it does. And in terms of, you know, you mentioned your youth, so you've grown up in your 20s doing this. You were in your very early 20s when you kicked off Sculpted. You're still in your 20s. I can't stand you.
Barely.
Well, come on. You're still there. But I mean, do you think that youth allows you to take more risks? You know, I'm a good 10 years on you. And maybe, you know, it's the old dog, new tricks. But you learned this as you grew. And did that allow you to be more adventurous, perhaps?
Definitely. Like most common question I get asked, and it's probably something that people have heard because I say it a lot, is people would say to me, how did you have the confidence to go for it?
Yeah.
Like, how did you think I know all these things? And I knew I didn't know them. I wasn't concerned about what I didn't know because I purely just didn't overthink it. So yeah. I think people often say, oh, that level of confidence is amazing. And I would argue and say, actually, it was the level of naivety that was amazing because I just jumped head in. But that's the thing. When you're 22, you've no kids, no mortgage, you've no responsibilities. Yeah. It doesn't matter if everything fails. Mm-hmm. But also in my head, I was so determined that I knew it wasn't going to fail. But I was like, sure, of course I'm going to do this brand. This is going to be fabulous. I haven't a notion where to start, but I'm going to figure it out. And I also think like one of the best traits of being an entrepreneur is you are very aware that you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. You probably have the confidence to pick up the phone and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Whereas others might, and I totally get it, they might psych themselves out and be like, oh God, I couldn't do that area. I couldn't do that. So I just won't bother. And then before they know it, they've shut the door on themselves, which is such a shame because it's all figure outable, which is a lovely non-English word.
Figure outable. But you know what? Somebody told me before, in terms of broadcasting and in terms of interviewing people, to embrace my ignorance. And, you know, I always kind of raise my eyebrow at that, but it's a good piece of advice because it's, let's not use the word ignorance, but curiosity allows you to learn. And I think if you don't, that's a really valuable commodity as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to be, you know, curious.
Yeah, totally. And any kind of, I suppose, business module, podcast, book that you could read, a lot of it centers around the head of the company or the actual team and the push towards staying curious. Because it also means you're kind of staying ahead and you're figuring out ideas that maybe don't already exist or you're trying to be better. So,
And when you say, you know, you knew the brand was going to succeed, like, and that's amazing and that's beautiful. It's so important that we believe in ourselves. I have two questions on that, because it's a noisy, busy market. Like, there are thousands of brands. How did you know what you were going to do would, you know, supersede and rise above all that noise and clutter?
So again, it sounds like a very basic answer. I didn't really think about how I was going to succeed over others. And this is very contradictory, because if I was sitting here now recommending what I would say to an entrepreneur starting out in beauty in particular, I would say, know your product really well and know your competitors. I think I had built up a couple of years in makeup, absolutely loved it, from doing makeup, writing makeup, teaching makeup. And I knew that I had developed this kind of semi-signature style about simplifying it and a very easy makeup that you still wore it, but it wasn't like 72 layers. Because at the time, like going back 6 or 7 years ago, YouTube was a big thing. Instagram was only coming into its own. And the real era of the Kim Kardashian contour had landed. Oh. So you're talking concealers, foundations, sponges, brushes.
Those big palettes with 100 colors. Jesus, they were so stressful.
So I went completely against that trend, and I had a trio palette that had a very simple 3-step bronzer, cream highlight, powder highlight for all ages. So already at that time, I was kind of defying, I suppose, what social media was pushing you into, in that it was on trend, and sticking with my ethos of, it doesn't have to be really fancy or fussy. 5 minutes, small products, big changes, out the door, no fuss. So I think I just very much stayed true. And that's still very much the ethos of making makeup easier in Sculpted to this day, and very much resonates with what I was doing, you know, 10, 12 years ago in makeup. So I think it was less about knowing how I was going to cut out across other competitors and more focusing on what I knew very well and sticking to it, mm-hmm. which can be really hard. Like you said, it's a busy market. Like I think now sometimes I lie awake going, why did I enter such a busy market?
It's crazy. It really is.
I don't have any regrets. And it's amazing because it's so busy, but there is room for everyone because everyone's doing their own thing and everyone's succeeding, which is great. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely think it's hard sometimes in the noise to stay individual and really keep the head down. But it's something that I think I have been very good at whilst growing the business in as much as I can. And also it gets easier when the team builds around you because you feel like you've got more of a support. Mm-hmm. So it's not just all on your shoulders to make the right decision or, you know, block out the noise that's happening around you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've answered my second question, which was, you know, about the product that you felt was needed. And it surely was, you know, that simplified approach, because, you know, I feel more so now with skincare, with beauty, it can be overwhelming. There is so much to choose. There's so many individual ingredients that we feel we need to use. Your makeup bag keeps getting bigger. Yeah. And I think I'm not able for it. You know,
so you only have one face. So exactly. It's like, it's only going to go one place. But I think over COVID, that was a massive propeller in people learning. So I think it's amazing that on one hand, yes, it's really busy. There's so much to choose from. But on the other hand, people are far more educated now. But that can also be extra overwhelming for those that maybe don't feel as educated as some. And they kind of go, well, I don't know what that ingredient is and I don't know what to layer. So as much as we can make it easy for ourselves. And that's a total vanity project for me. Like I want to make it easy too. I want to get out the door quicker in the morning and not have to do all the layers.
And, you know, in terms of back to running a business then, Amy, you know, you mentioned, you know, this growing business, becoming a CEO. Was there somebody who helped you along the way? Were there other entrepreneurs that you looked to that you got advice from or mentors perhaps?
Yeah, I feel like Ireland is blessed with some of the most encouraging business people and women known
to awful nice, aren't we?
Awful nice. And we really get behind our own. I really have to say that. Like I started out, like I said, fresh out of college, bright-eyed, eager, ready to rock. Really didn't have a clue what I was starting with, but was happy just to dive in. So I'm lucky to still, I suppose, own 100% and continue to be sole founder. Whatever the future might hold. But along the way, you know, it does get quite lonely and you do kind of want to ask these questions of like, is this normal to go through? Has anyone else been through this before? Particularly when there's dips and highs in business. So I've met some amazing business women who have walked the walk before me. Some names would be Donna Ledwidge, Uno Hagen from Mars Pharmacy. I've been a part of an amazing women in business kind of mentorship leadership group called Going for Growth, run by Paula Fitzsimons.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that. That's literally like a round table of like-minded women who sit around and all talk about the same issues that we have, be it finance, HR. We all fake that classic Anne and accounts chasing invoices at the start when you're not getting paid by anyone. So yeah, there's been so many along the way that you can just literally have a vent with and be like, tell me now. Is this normal?
Is this good?
Yeah.
But you know what is amazing? I'm sure, you know, for the ladies sitting around that round table, how quickly the mentee becomes a mentor, because I'm sure there are people who ask you questions now, right?
Completely. And, you know, it's so flattering, firstly, that people think I have it all figured out. Okay.
You've got a good bit of it figured out.
But it is amazing. And you know what? Like I really try to give as much time to it, but it's not always possible, seeing as I'm still probably in the thick of growing the business, like some who might have taken a step back. But I think it's so important to do it because we've all been that person starting out at different stages of business. And sometimes that one coffee you can have with someone can change everything or can give you the absolute pep in your step that you needed back or whatever is required.
And you mentioned 100% owned by you, no investors. I'm sure there have been knocks on at that door of yours. Is that something you think you consider?
Yeah, I think you always have to be open-minded in business. I think my ambitious growth plans are not going to stall anytime soon. I'm not one for sitting on the fence going, that'll be grand. That'll look after itself this year. So I think we always just have to keep an open mind and be curious, like we said at the start, and interested into how that system works. It's not something that I've had to do yet or is in my immediate line of sight, but who knows?
You'd want to do something very different with it because it's just growing so perfectly, organically and quickly. It's great that you can do that. I always think of the Rixo girls as well. They were, you know, quite a similar scale of growth, and they still have it, and they're still doing that. That's really exciting to see.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like I said, it's few and far in between. And it's no disrespect to how you run your business. There's pros and cons to every way. But I definitely feel that slow and steady growth has really benefited us to date. And then who knows in terms of, you know, the global expansion plans.
Exactly. Well, the expansion plan is already underway. You're in the UK, you're moving to the Middle East. Tell me about, you know, we love you and we are so fond of Amy Connolly in Ireland and Sculpted. So tell me, you know, going into an industry where they mightn't know you as well, how has that been? What's the biggest differences between the UK and Ireland, perhaps, on that regard?
I would say it's a fresh wake-up call. I would say it's one for you to look in the mirror and say, right, let's get to work. The UK is amazing. And I have to say, the UK press and influencers have been absolutely nothing but short of amazing. Like, they've been so welcoming to us. And it's actually a real vote of confidence, which sounds bizarre because obviously we make the formulas and I pour my heart and soul into them. But like, when someone doesn't know you, doesn't care, quite frankly, about you from Adam, gets your products, love them, and continues to use them, it's like, yes, they really love those formulas. So that's a real kind of small win that you celebrate in the background. So yeah, we've had the most amazing welcome. But I think we just cannot underestimate how big the UK is. It is so huge. We think the cosmetics industry is busy here, times three it, to get a feeling of how it is in the UK. So they've so much choice. They have so many different price points. They have so many different stores. It's just so much more in every sense.
Of course.
So it can be quite overwhelming for a small Irish brand to tackle that.
But also, Amy, you know, as you say, they're using your products again and again. So three times more boxes coming in their doors every morning, you know, for those influencers. And they're still going back to Sculpted by Amy and using it again and buying it themselves, perhaps.
Definitely. And I think you have to look at those positives. And like, listen, there's, you know, business is challenging and there's going to be ups and downs. So if anything, you know, I look at it and say, okay, cool, let's kick into gear. What's the plan for the UK? We know we can't replicate exactly what we've done here because it is a different consumer that we're speaking to. But it's amazing to have done Ireland to the extent that we have to date. So we've so many learnings and I suppose actions that we can take into the UK. But yeah, I just think it can be a very common thing in business to think, oh, they're just a hop and skip across the water and they speak the same language, so happy days, but they really are quite different. But it's really interesting and it's not possible. It's just that you have to change your tack a little bit.
I know. And then the Middle East, how on earth do you begin to understand, you know, on a different continent, a different consumer?
We're still very much in the throes of understanding that, I would say. The retailer that we're launching with is super supportive and really wants to hero Western brands in the mix that they have. So I think it's the perfect opportunity for us. I went over and vetted stores last December. So it's been a long time coming for this launch. But I think you'd be surprised in an area like the Middle East, there's quite a mix of cultures and nationalities there. So I think it's about more so being flexible of who you're speaking to at that time and just being sure that you're sensitive to their needs. So yeah, we're still kind of figuring it out, which is so interesting. I have to say it's such a diverse market. So yeah, fingers crossed it goes well.
But the launch that we are most excited about is the launch in Brown Thomas. It's phenomenal. Tell us about your history with Brown Thomas.
Yeah, well, I was only saying this. So we were launching with a content recently to announce our arrival into stores. And yeah, some of the team were kind of a bit emotional with me as we were doing it because 10 years ago this year, I was working on counter in Brown Thomas and I absolutely loved it. Had the time of my life, learned so much.
Yeah.
It's one of the it brands, total icon. So it's mental to think that 10 years later, I've arrived back with my own brand.
Crazy. Like, it really is something to, you know, take those moments and pinch yourself because that's incredible, you know, and it's lovely to see. And there's so much excitement about you being in Brown Thomas. So tell me about some of the products. If you were to pick, now I'm sure it's like picking a favorite child, but if you were to pick like your three holy grail products, tell us a little bit about them.
Oh my God, that is so tough. Only three.
I'll give you five. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so our number one bestseller will be Second Skin. That's our medium coverage SPF 50 kind of CC cream foundation that I feel is probably our most versatile base because it sits in that medium coverage, like I said, sector. So you can go up or down with it. That comes in 30 shades. And I feel like that's often people's entry point to the brand. So Second Skin will be number one. Number two will be Brighten Up Concealer. This was designed specifically for the under eyes. I think everyone needs an under eye concealer in their lives. Mm-hmm. And particularly if you're busy with kids at home, which I'm not yet.
Oh my God.
It gets a lot.
I saw my child putting my under eye concealer down the toilet the other day, and I was like, you don't know you have caused me to need that so much, and now you're throwing it away. So anyway, yeah, that's life ahead of you. But yeah, so under eye concealer, so tell me about your particular one.
So Brighten Up was designed, like I said, specifically for the under eye. So it's a super fine formula, but it packs coverage. So again, we have always been a brand for and celebrated all ages. And that has been designed with everyone in mind, because a lot of us can be quite finicky about the beautiful expressive lines around our face and eye.
Of course.
We're a huge fan of multi-purpose products. So Beauty Base is one of the first things that I launched with our South Korean factory, and it very much decided the direction of the brand for me, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. So Beauty Base is a multi-purpose primer, and so it'll help to keep the makeup on. It's got SPF 30 broad spectrum protection, or SPF 50, depending on the one that you choose. It's got hyaluronic acid for a boost of hydration, and it gives an luminous kind of glow to the skin. Okay. So that's essentially combining your five steps in the morning into one, because the laziness in me really wanted a one step and off we go, which I think appeals to a lot of people.
But that's a one step, but you still have other steps. You have your mascara, you have everything. Trying to get, you know, a range of uses for one thing, it's vital. It really is.
It is. Mm. We all need the time back. Mm-hmm. So I could basically stay on complexion all day, because that is where the brand really propels. But I'm going to be controversial and span the range a bit more, given that.
Of course.
Oh, it's very hard though. Okay, I'm going to go to Bare Basics next. This is new enough multi-purpose palette that we did, and I feel like it's just changed my makeup bag.
How has it done that?
I obviously developed the products, and, you know, with the team, sit on them, use the prototypes, all that. But then there are times when we're kind of shifting in between stuff, the things will leave and come and go from my makeup bag. Bare Basics has not. So this is three shadows, cream highlight, powder bronzer, setting powder, and blusher in it. It is literally, if you wanted one tool to take you from day to night, it's all you need. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been one of the best selling products in the UK as well. So it definitely resonates nicely with an on-the-go customer. And then last but not least, I'm going to pick Cream Luxe Blusher, because anyone who knows me will know that I'm wholeheartedly obsessed with blusher. I feel like creams are just so synonymous with their brand for that kind of natural, filter-free faces, glowy skin. And honestly, I could stay here all day.
I know, and I could stay listening, and I just feel I need to get into Brent Thomas now and fill my makeup bag, because you just make it sound easy, and that's just what we need, let me tell you. I'm interested in the formulation process, if I could ask you. So you mentioned South Korea, is that where everything is made?
That's where about 65% of our product line is made.
Okay. And then in terms of, you know, that trial and testing period, how long do you give a product before you decide? Well, I guess it varies from complexion to eyeshadows. You can tell very quickly with some and not with others, right?
And you've just made me realize that I forgot my mascara. I'm not quite sure how I forgot that from my lineup, because that would probably take the number one spot.
Okay.
And it's coming into conversation now, because when you talk about formulation, my mascara was by a mile the most challenging product I've ever created. Wow. Because mascara is so personal, and you cannot underestimate that. So whatever bit of foundation, I can tell you the tone, the texture, the consistency in 3 seconds when it arrives in my door. And actually, it's funny, from having experience in makeup and developing a brand, I don't think I would ever go into a brand that I wasn't an expert in, because I would really struggle not knowing it through and through.
Well, just as you're saying that, I'm like, God, you know your stuff. You really, like, I mean, you live and breathe this.
Yeah. And like, one or two team members started this year, and in completely different areas to buying or creative, or so on the finance side. And he made a comment like 3 months in, being like, I just went home to my wife and I said, like, they just talk about product so much. Like, they're either testing or swatching it or talking about it. He's like, I've never known anyone to be so obsessed with it. But I think it's a real testament to how involved the whole team are.
It's so important.
But yeah, mascara is a very personal product for people. So it depends on your eyelash length, depends on how thick you like the formula, depends on the wand you want. Mm-hmm. And we really take it personally. So like, even getting the whole team to test that and arrive at a favorite was near impossible, because everyone had their own. Well, for my way of mascara or for my style, I like this. Yeah. That was such an amazing success when we did arrive at it. And that has been our fastest selling product ever in the line. So it was worth all the hardship, but it genuinely nearly turned me gray. It was about 2 years every day testing.
Amazing. But that's why they're good. You know, there's so much thought and work goes into them. And it's not, you know, because there's a lot of people who put their name to brands and they might not put that work and effort into the brand.
Totally. And I think, you know, and again, it's no disrespect to how people want to approach business. There's, you know, it's a far easier life if you want to put your name to it and not get stuck in behind the scenes. But I think how I am as a person, I would say I'm a nice control freak. So I definitely need to be like, as in, even as a CEO, I'm, you know, probably definitely way too involved in all areas, but I just find it so hard to not be, because, you know, it's my baby. Like, I've done it on my own and now worked up to it. Don't get me wrong, I love having the help and I love having, you know, the experts on the teams to delegate to, but it is hard to fully extract yourself from
100%. And I think that's probably the hardest thing for a CEO as well, especially, you know, when a growing brand and when it was fledgling, to invest in your weakness, you know, because you want to be able to do it all, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to the slow and steady growth that we've had, I didn't hire my first team member for the first year and a half. And that really suited me because I needed to get under the hood and kind of do all the areas that really I hadn't a clue in, but more so for me to have some sort of awareness rather than having someone come in totally over my head and I haven't a clue what they're doing. Now, there's loads of areas I don't have full detail on now as we progress and grow, but that route to market definitely worked for me as a person. And then for someone else, they might want to literally run before they can walk and have a whole team hired within that first year. So it just depends on what suits your work.
Well, would that be your advice then? Slow and steady, take your time.
Yeah, I think it can vary. I think, you know, it is a busy place and a busy market. So I often think if I was to do it now, would I do that? And probably not. But it's not really a fair reflection because I kind of know a bit more now. But I think personally, especially if you want to maintain control and ownership, slow and steady is probably the only way to do that, or else you're going to just expend cash flow and you won't be able to survive. So I think it depends kind of how you want to grow and maybe what your product is.
Yeah.
If it's something really revolutionary that doesn't exist, you obviously have a bit of urgency to get it out there before anyone else. Whereas if you want to consider kind of what your brand direction is, and I think it's so important if someone's listening to this going, I really want to start a brand, in a world of so many brands now, it's never been more important, I think, to be really conscious of what your brand is and what it stands for. So knowing kind of why you exist or why you're different to someone else. And that can be really hard to really nail down, but I really think it's so important.
And your relationship with your followers, with your customers, is really something that, you know, has been important to you. Do they dictate the direction of the business? Do we dictate the direction of the business? You know, are we asking for things? How does that work?
Yeah, do you know what? It's amazing. And it's one of the most difficult things to replicate in a new market because we're so lucky here in Ireland. Like, our community are top notch. They tell us when they love something, they tell us when something's wrong, and they often give feedback and advice. The interesting thing, though, is the requests or comments that we would hear are often already in motion. So if anything, it's more of a lovely reflection of the synergy between the decisions we make and how on board the customers are with us and how well they know us. So it's actually really interesting.
That's fab. Yeah. Amy, what's the future hold? I mean, it's been a whirlwind, but like, beautiful thing to watch this business flourish and thrive. And you particularly, like, I've thought of you so many times when people would say, you know that Amy girl? Like, and I was like, yeah, she did my makeup years ago. And I was so impressed with her then. It's been really, like, it's been really lovely to see this company just, you know, on the back of hard work and knowledge, really grow and flourish. So what is the next steps? Where are you off to?
Firstly, just thanks so much. It's actually like, it sometimes is quite overwhelming when you've such an outpouring of love and support, because you're like, Jesus, like, I don't know if we like, we're just working away, but it's so nice. I think in future terms, we are focusing kind of what we do well and how to nurture that. So in areas like Ireland, that, you know, our distribution is at a point now that we're really happy with. So it's like how we maintain our position. And then focusing on growth plans in terms of new territories. So still lots of work to do in the UK. Middle East is new for us. And then we've started our registration for the FDA for the US.
So that's a complicated process, right?
It is, yeah. Particularly when you have SPF, they consider SPF an over-the-counter drug. And We could make the decision to just leave off SPF in our communications, but we really feel it's a great benefit to some of our formulas. So we're going full in on the
FHA. All in, and watch this space. Amy, it's been so interesting to talk to you. So lovely to catch up with you. And it's brilliant and amazing that you and Sculpted by Amy are in Brent Thomas.
I know. So excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.